Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
And I want to begin with this question. Who inspires you? Who or who has inspired you in your life? When I was in my teens, I had a few heroes. I love playing cricket. I know that's about three of us in the room, but I love playing cricket. And one of my heroes was a guy called David Gower. David Gower was amazing, left-handed, played for England, and he was as smooth as silk. And when he got the bat in his hand and he was on form, he'd kind of take graceful strides forward and play through the ball. And the ball would disappear off to the boundary and he'd score hundreds here, there and everywhere. And he was a hero of mine. And a couple of goalkeepers who most of you won't. Does anybody remember Peter Shilton? Roy Clemens? Yes, about the ones who were very old, right? The rest of you are going like, who? Who are those guys? But they were my heroes because I was a goalkeeper. I did lots of goalkeeping. Even won some trophies. I have some trophies at home for goalkeeping. End of my boast. And it's good. But over the years, people have inspired me. Richard Branson, I wanted to be a businessman at one time in my life. Richard Branson, he inspired me. He's a founder of Virgin. He went bust twice, but he kept going. He kept persevering until he found out what he's good at. And then he did, and he's done some great stuff. If you ever get a chance to read his book about the culture, or the culture that he'd like, at least in his Virgin businesses, it's well worth a read. It's so close to how a church, how we feel, we should run what we do here. It is amazing how the same principles in the Bible don't just work in church. They work in absolutely every area of life. And as far as I know, he's not a Christian, but he's still stumbled across the same kind of way of doing it. I love Elon Musk. Anybody else like Elon Musk? Three of you again. I'm doing well on this morning. He's not a cricketer. He's one of the owners and directors of something called SpaceX. And he's producing cool rockets that blast into space. He's just announced that next year he's going to send his first rocket to Mars. And his rockets are the cool ones that fly up and then fly back down and land on the little legs, if you've seen them on the telly. That's him. And his plan is he's going to send one of these across to Mars and he's going to try and get it onto the Mars surface and then blast it back up again into space and see if it's possible. Isn't that cool? He's a hero. It's also worth $19.4 billion, which is quite nice. That's a lot of money, right? Yeah. Kind of do what you want with $94 billion. Anyway, which he does, to be fair to him. Church heroes. Well, church people inspired me. Pastor Bill Hybels in the Willow Creek Church. A businessman who was called by God to go and build a church. And he used every ounce of his skill to build a church, I don't know how big it is now, 30, 40,000, and influence churches across the entire world, thousands of churches across with the Willow Creek Association. Amazing guy. Rick Warren, founder of Saddleback. A man who says, I'm going to figure out how to do church. And he did surveys and he asked people, obviously prayed, and then worked really, really hard. Wrote the purpose books that some of you will have read and influenced. I would guess as many as anybody, and has built a huge church. And then Pastor Brian Houston and his wife Bobby, definitely heroes of ours, have inspired us so much and built a church that literally has influenced him. These are people who've inspired me over the years. Heroes in my life. Imperfect heroes, for sure. None of them are perfect. I'm sure if we talked to some of the close friends of all those people, they'd have a good long list of their faults, like everybody else. But they've done something, they've achieved something, and they've at least inspired me. They pointed things out to me as I've looked at their lives and what they've done that have enabled me to go forward and do things myself. That's what people inspire you do, don't they? They take hold of where you are and say, if you kind of do some of the things, you might be able to go and do that. And you go and do that. And really my question this morning for you is this. Are you inspiring people in your world? Are you inspiring people in your world? Are you inspiring them? Are you pointing people and encouraging people to go and attain that which is in them already? Are you encouraging them? Are you, by example and words, are you inspiring them to go forward into what is them. Because I think it's every person's joy. I'm pretty sure that almost the entire list that I read out did not set out to inspire millions. But they have done because they set out to do something in different sports, business, space for the church. But are you inspiring people? Or better put, how are you inspiring people? Because all of us are inspiring people, or not, as the case may be. But are you inspiring people? Or how are you inspiring people? If you're a Christian this morning, are you inspiring people towards Jesus? Are you pointing people towards Jesus? Is that who you are? Is that part of your makeup? The Apostle John, when he wrote his book, in the very early chapters, introduces us to a character called John the Baptist, different from the Apostle John, John the Baptist. We think a cousin, or at least a relative, of Jesus. And John, he pointed people to Jesus. I'll just read the story for you. We're in John 1, 29 to 37. John 1, 29 to 37. It says this. The next day, John, this is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said," he's been talking about this Jesus already. "This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." My life is to point towards Jesus. That's what John's trying to say. "Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I would not have known him except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God.'" And then it goes on, "The next day, John," this is John the Baptist, "was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus pass by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' And when the two disciples heard him say this, they left John the Baptist and went to follow Jesus." John was inspiring people through his ministry to follow Jesus, through his life to follow. He was pointing the way to Jesus. We want to explore the idea of what it means to point people towards things, particular, because obviously church, towards Jesus. And we've called it the Signpost Series. The Signpost Series. And we're going to think about how we help each other, encourage each other to do this, both on purpose and accidentally. Because most of us inspire and encourage people accidentally. Did you know that? We very rarely do on purpose. We occasionally do, but most of it's accidentally. It's coming out of who we are. So the question really is, how do we become that which we are so that we may signpost people to Jesus? But also, because I'm a dad, I like helping people in business, how do we inspire people in every area, though particularly towards Jesus? Paul writes something in which every time I read it, I kind of shudder. But he writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And he says these words. "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of the many, so that they may be saved." I'm doing all this so that I can point them towards Jesus, that may be saved. And then he says this in verse 1 of chapter 11. "Follow my example as I have followed the example of Christ." I always go like, follow my best example, guys. Ignore the rest as I follow Jesus. I think Paul was incredibly brave to be able to say, follow me, because it kind of implies in every way. Well, I'm not going to say follow me in every way. You will have some faults in your life. But find the best and follow me. And let's all of us work on the best, that people may be able to follow us into their best too. And we all know that our attitudes and our actions and our words do impact people. And we need to think through our attitudes, our actions and words, and how we're going to do it. Now, we have an illustration, which somebody wonderful is going to bring onto the stage for me now, I think, so that we can illustrate our signpost series and really think through how we signpost Jesus first. And while they're getting it here, I'm going to do something really unusual. If this is your very first time in church, welcome. I'm going to do something that is totally normal to you because this is your first time in church. If you've been coming a while, this is going to feel quite strange. I would like the congregation to participate in the next part of the church service. Is that okay? You sure you can cope with it on this bank holiday Monday, where you're all relaxed, and Sunday, bank holiday weekend, and it's Sunday. You're relaxed. Is that relaxed and chilled? So the question I'm going to ask is this, and if nobody answers or shouts out, I'm going to pick some people. So if you're brand new, you're safe, because I don't know what you're called, right? So that's good. Stands to go, oh, that's great. They don't know me. He's never going to ask my name. The question is this. If you're Christian, what do you think, as it were, takes away in your life from pointing to Jesus? I'm thinking about attitudes, actions, and words. What do you think takes away from you pointing towards Jesus? Because you see, I have it in my head, if I can remove everything that takes away, all that's left is Jesus, right? So what takes away? Now, I could have given you a list. We're going to make a list on the screen, I hope. Guys, is that right? From your suggestions, then, and Tabs is going to put Jesus, because Jesus is the one we're trying to point towards. You got that? And then we're going to add four different things from your list that you're about to create of things that you think point people in the opposite way. Now, these might be really good things in your life. They might not be bad things. They might be good things. But they still kind of distract you from pointing towards Jesus. Okay, so I'm not looking for a list of terrible things. Like, yeah, I sin lots. You probably do sin lots, right? Because you're human beings. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, so it could be good things. It could be bad things. Attitudes include feelings, actions, and words. Is that good? Yeah. You ready? Have we got a blank screen that we can scribble on? Tech guys? Right, so we'll take some suggestions. Comfort. I like comfort. Let's put comfort up. No, don't write yet. We're just putting it on the screen. We're going to summarize them at the end. Okay, because there'll be more than four. If you do the first four, it'll be finished. Comfort. Fear. Come on, guy. Comfort. Fear. Busyness. Yeah, they have to catch up, though. Comfort. Fear. What's next? Busyness. Busyness, come on, guys. You're the new generation. We should type faster. Who's typing? Come on, Ollie. Can I move on? I see Dave. Is Dave slowing you up because he's in his 30s now, Dave? Criticism. I suspect this has a screen frozen. He just can't type that fast. He can't spell it. He can't spell criticism, I'm afraid. It's too long. We'll just kick him some answers while they catch up. So what? Rejection? Oh, come on. Let's go for some of the big ones, the really big ones that stop you pointing towards Jesus. Selfishness. Thank you. I don't know who said that, but that's definitely one of them. Laziness. Hypocrisy. Road rage. Driving too slow with a fish on your car. Yeah, you two kind of need to talk to each other. Right. Expectations. Anger. Apathy. Bitterness. Lack of faith. Are you keeping up, guys?
Being boring.
Being boring. How about the pursuit of happiness? Pleasure. Pleasure was on my list for sure. And for those of you who know me well, pleasure for me is holidays. Because I love my holidays. Anyway, pleasure. How about earning money? Who's driven by earning money? makes lots of decisions through to money because of money. Sorry, that's two of mine. Any more? Lack of self-worth, yes. Poverty mentality. Career. Jealousy from the new girl in the middle. Fantastic. So, what? Mushrooms. You have to explain yourself a little bit, I think, Si. They're just wrong. I'm not going to disagree with you. James from the back row, what do you think?
Pride.
We've got mindsets. We've got quite a list, right? But really, we're going to pick four in a second. Actually, I'm going to pick four in a second.
Relationships.
Thank you. Who said relationships? Hey, thank you, Isaac. That's very good. It's on my list. So I'm glad you managed that. There's lots and lots there about self, isn't there?
Yeah.
Me. I'm going to put me first. In fact, you could say they're all about me first. Really? It's about putting myself first. I think we can sum up them with four. Is that all right? Which Tabs is going to write. Can we put the four on the screen as I go along somehow? And then Tabs can watch them and put them up. I think the seeking of pleasure in our modern generation points people away from Jesus. Holidays, weekends, all that kind of stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong with seeking pleasure. God says go enjoy the world. But it's when it distracts. It's easy to distract, right? It's easy to distract. I think feelings, and you've listed loads and had listed loads and loads of feelings. I think feelings, how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about the world, how we feel about how people respond to us, restricts us from pointing towards Jesus. And we need to know as Christians, and it's not a message about this, but we need to bring our feelings into line with the truth of Scripture, and what the Bible teaches, not the other way around. You know, I feel like God's not with me. Well, but God's promised. I feel like I'm not worth anything. Yeah, but God died for you. He counts you of infinite value enough to sacrifice his son. I feel like I'm not gifted enough. The Holy Spirit's promised to gift you for everything you need. I feel like I can't witness. Well, that's all right. The Bible promises the Holy Spirit will go before us to open the unbeliever's eyes. It's not our job to do that. It's just our job to point towards Jesus. And we need to bring our feelings. But it's not a message about that. But it's okay. Feeling. I think relationships are huge. Either individual relationship or actually our relationship with others in general and the fact that we think we might spoil them or hurt them. I went to Keith Baker's funeral on Friday talking to somebody, I won't say who, and I'd shared about how that Jesus was with Keith's saviour, Lord and friend, and how my feeling is that Keith would want everybody in the room to at least explore Jesus if they hadn't done before and get to know him better. And so I was talking to one of the guys at the end, and he said, oh, it's nice in here. It's a nice service. Thank you, Pastor. And I thought, well, I've got two choices. I can go, thank you very much, and walk away, or I can kind of push a bit. And do you know, have you had those moments you think, well, I'll probably never meet this guy ever again in my entire life. What can possibly go wrong? I had one of those moments. So I said, great. I said, well, I think the message. He went, yeah, I don't really do church and Jesus. I said, why? Should have seen his face. Amazing, like, you asked me why? Nobody ever asked me why on that kind of question. I said, well, I don't know. So I said, well, is it that you've explored it and it's not for you, or have you just kind of ignored it? And he went, you see his face going like, I don't want to answer this question, but I'll be honest because he's a pastor, right? And he said, well, I probably just ignored it. And I went, perhaps you shouldn't. Nice to see him off the toilet now. And pretty much, he was pretty much like that. I actually heard later on that the same guy had asked a number of people who went to church and about Jesus. And I risked the relationship to point him towards Jesus. And there's a fear, right? And a lot of you have talked about that rejection, all sorts of things. And it's about, I'm fearful for this relationship, the closest relationships or even relationships at work and things like that. So I think, how are we doing? Relationships, feelings, things like that. And the final, I think prosperity is a huge deal for us. Huge deal. I was reading, I forgot to check the scripture before I left, but Paul, when he's writing to the Hebrews, talks about people that have sacrificed their lives and their land and their homes and everything for Jesus. And I suspect if we did a quick survey around the room, that on a scale of 1 to 10, would you sacrificially give up everything that you possess for Jesus on a scale of 1 to 10? If 10 was, you'd be overjoyed to do it for Jesus. Like, yay, be fantastic. Down to, naught, I'd hate it. We'd all be under 5. Perhaps towards the bottom end of number 5. But they joyfully, Paul talks about them joyfully doing it for the sake of Jesus. And I was like, I read that this morning in my quiet times. I went, I'm going to preach on this stuff, right? But it is, isn't it? Our stuff. I think, and there's nothing wrong with great stuff and great cars and great houses. And there's nothing wrong with that. But is it pointing people the other way from Jesus? Now, they're just a few things, right? But this is, what we're trying to do is really help you think through things. And if you're not a Christian yet, actually just it will help you think through, how's my life inspiring other people? Am I helping the people around me, the people I love, enter into everything that they could become? Is that what I'm doing? And as Christians, to really help us think through, am I pointing, signposting people to Jesus, or am I think, accidentally pointing them in another direction? A good direction, it's not a bad, it's bad because I'm not going to Jesus, but you know what I'm saying? That's the kind of the point of the thing. I have on my notes, while the person works on the board, I will tell you a few things, but they've finished. Thank you, Tabs, for that. You were too quick. I just want to mention one or two things about being a great signpost. A great signpost. And I want to tell you a couple of stories and I'll get down. The first one is this. It's that all of us are signposts. It's just where we're pointing people. The second thing is this. Being a signpost is being a great example in attitude, action, and in our words. That's true, but as a Christian, it's also about telling people why you are the signpost you are. It is being a great example in every area of your life, but it's also telling people. They're joined up. We'll explore that in another session. Signposts are still and restful. Have you noticed that? They don't travel very far. They don't get stressed. They're very kind of relaxed. Yeah? Have you ever seen a stressed signpost? Actually, you probably have, because stressed as in mentally stressed, not stressed as in falling to bits. Yeah, yeah. No, and actually God calls us to rest in who we are as we point people towards him and not stress about it. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, how we're supposed to be as people. It says this, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. It says, thanks be to God who always, always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. I love the fact Paul says always. Christians are always spreading the fragrance. Always of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who have been saved and among those who are perishing. After his verse 16, it's very cool. Verse 16, to the one we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And then it says, and who is equal to such a task? And we're supposed to be, and we just give off a fragrance. You know how fragrances? My wife put some fragrances in our bathrooms, I noticed, to sweeten the smell. So many boys in their house. She says, sweeten the smell a little. But it sits there, and it just flows out. And we need to learn to rest in God and be that aroma. It's not an effort, it's a being of who We are. And we'll try and explore that a little over the next few weeks. And the fourth thing I want to say is this. Remember, signposts are not the final destination. When I speak to people, especially when I was younger, I wanted to speak to them and kind of show them Jesus so they could get Jesus and then become a Christian and be saved for eternity. But I've come to realize that actually, as a signpost, we point people towards Jesus, and then somebody else points them towards Jesus, then somebody else points them towards Jesus, and hopefully, along the way, somebody introduces them to Jesus. So be patient, don't get tired, and don't get discouraged. God will use you on people's journeys if you relax and become the best signpost that you can be. Are you being a good signpost? Are you inspiring people or not? I want to finish with a couple of stories because I started off with some huge heroes of mine, right? But I have some other heroes, spiritual heroes in my life that are, I think you probably think a bit more ordinary. When I was a young teenager, we went to a Methodist chapel in Kuesner, and we sang hymns. As far as I know, it probably still sings hymns with a few choruses mixed in, I imagine. We sang hymns, and nothing really changed over the decades of being there. And for me, although people's talked about God, I didn't see God really do anything or see a lot of passion, at least from what I could see at my age. And I remember when I became a teenager and started going to youth events, as you did. And I remember going to one youth event at Garstang Free Methodist Church. And I didn't know his name there, but I learned his name since. A guy called Alex Sayer. And in this room, there's probably 100 teenagers, a bit like me, really, from quietish churches. And across the way, he was tall. He was 6 foot something, a huge guy. And he kind of stood out in the crowd already, right? And when we started singing, we were singing kind of, it was the 80s, right? So modern choruses, right? For those of you who were in the, anyway, most of you are too young to remember the 80s. Yes. But some of us remember the 80s. And we sang the choruses. And I remember being sat over here, and he was sat over there, and he kind of stood out anyway. Through the songs, he put his hand up in worship when he's singing. And I'm sat over there going like, what is he doing? He's putting his hand up. Like you do in class. I bet it felt like, right? And then it dawned on me that he was worshiping and he was expressing himself in worship. At which point, I just felt embarrassed. The thing is, I didn't feel embarrassed for him. I felt embarrassed for me because I wouldn't do that because that was too embarrassing. Does that make sense? And all he did was put his hand up in worship. But he inspired me. From that moment on, I thought, I want to get into a place in my life where I can worship God in freedom. That was just somebody simply putting their hand up in worship. I want to be like that. One day, I want to be able to put my hand up in worship. Even if the rest of the room is empty, I won't care. I want to be able to worship God like that. And he inspired me. And you think, wow, that was simple. Yeah, it was simple. And the thing is, some of the things you do, you go, well, it wasn't any effort. It was just being me. That's all he was doing. But he inspired me. And then probably around the same time, I came across a minister called Barry Walton, who eventually became my minister when I was a bit older. And the thing that struck me about this minister, though he was just an ordinary guy called Barry, was when he was doing things, he expected God to do stuff. And I'd never really come across that. Now, I probably had. It was just the first time I recognized it. Right? But he expected things to happen. So if he's praying, he expected God to answer and God to move. And I was like, that's weird. It's now weird that that was weird. But when I was in my teen, it was weird because I'd not really seen that expectation. I'd seen people talk about it, but not expect it. It was just this expectation. You see, for many of you in this room, when you pray, you can't expect something to happen. You don't know how much God can use. Just the expectation. It's not even that anything happened. He was just expected something. And he inspired me to begin to live a life that would expect God to do something. not always know he would, but I know he would sometimes, that he would come through, that he would answer prayer, that things would happen if I trusted him. And those two men made a huge impression on my life. And all of you here, you can make a huge impression on the generation that's watching you. The older generation, your generation, and the younger generation. If all you be is a signpost, be yourself and try and point them towards Jesus. And we're going to try and explore that even more over the next few weeks.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.